Fellas, if you're listening, please don't raise your daughter to be a real crowd pleaser. That's all I'm saying, man. I'm John Parker. This is Don't Do That, Bro.
I'm Dan Duncan. We're your life caddies for hire. Yeah. We don't get paid anything.
Right, we get zero. But
we're here.
We show up to work every day, ready to do what we got to do.
Irons, helping you miss the sand traps.
That's it, man.
Stay away from the crabs.
That's it. Stay away from the crabs and the alligators, man. Stay out the water hazard, man.
Trying.
Please. So if it's your first time listening, Don't Do That, Bro. It's a podcast dedicated to helping guys be great, making wise decisions, staying out of foolishness, and learning from their mistakes, preferably our mistakes, so that you don't have to go out there and deal with things on your own.
Yeah, it's the conversation you wish you had.
That's exactly it. The conversation you wish you had with some real dudes.
That's right.
Some real G's.
Yeah. I don't know if I qualify myself as a G.
Little G. You're a little G.
Okay.
All right. I'm almost OG.
I haven't killed anyone yet.
I mean, most people haven't. They just say they have. Oh. They just get teardrops, tattoos on their faces, and go through the...
If I showed up with a teardrop tattoo...
Yeah. Actually, you'd be pretty thug, bro. You look like somebody off of Sons of Anarchy. If you had a teardrop tattoo and a spider web on your elbow, bruh, I'm running. Hide your kids, hide your wife. Dan Duncan is in the building with the teardrop.
I feel like I'd have to have a swastika on my chest in order to do that.
That would be dope. Or like a giant, what kind of flag could you have on your back? Like a Confederate flag?
Or like the German flag?
Something? Yeah, man.
Pre-craziness?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
You good?
I could put the Scottish flag on my back.
All right, there you go, man. Hold your people down. Put the Scots on your back, man.
That's right. William Wallace.
All right, man. We in there. Hey, man, this is Don't Do That, Bro. You know what I'm saying? And for real, we making moves happen.
Trying.
All right.
Consistency.
Today, we got some pretty hot topics on the agenda. Are making men great? It's going to be nice. ladies, this is the part where you can, do something different. You know what I'm saying? And come back in about 10 minutes. Although you should listen. I think it's very important for you to know these things and have a conversation with your people.
We're giving you the secret codes to manhood.
Right.
In this section.
Yeah.
Or ammunition in some cases.
Yeah.
But we're giving you the up, down, down, right, A, B, C, D,
up, up,
a.
down, down, left, right, left, right.
Left, right.
A, B, select, start if you got two players.
You know
what I'm saying? So yes, this is conversations you can have with your man later on and check in on him. Fellas, this is some game for you to understand, right? I'm going to save what we're going to talk about. But the second part we're talking about today is how to be a hater. You know what I'm saying? Or how to be a winner. If you're a dad and you have a child and your child wants to date somebody that you don't approve of, we're going to give you the keys to the kingdom, brother. We're going to show you how to shut that thing down.
Yeah, how do you be a dad that's like... both checks the box of being cool, but make sure your daughter isn't cool.
She's not the crowd pleaser.
No.
I mean, Ray Sherman, they summed it up, man. You know what I'm saying? You don't want the Black Beetle daughter. That's not what you want.
You want the daughter that everyone wants and no one can have.
That's it, man.
Not the daughter everyone has.
And you want the son that's knocking everything down. No, you don't. You want the son that's chaste and perseveres in the face of women throwing it at him and can make good decisions that aren't based on, what do you call those things? Sizes and... shapes
stuff.
And
yeah, you just want him to go after that football scholarship.
That's it, man. You just want him to code. You know what I mean? You want him to do computers well. You want him to
play chess,
to work wonders on those keys, use those hands for good and not evil.
Not the certain ivories, but
no, the tickle some ivories, but just piano ivories.
just play music.
You don't want him on the Ivory Coast. All right, so listen to what we got. So making men great again. We pose two questions. It's one question in two parts. Is it okay to? Right, that's what we're talking about today. Is it okay to? All right.
I'm so confused how I keep going. I don't know how this relates to making men great, but this is a funny conversation.
this is a real situation because one, if you find yourself becoming aroused in either of these situations and you're a married man or a single man, there could be issues.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So the goal in making men great again is recognizing who you are and where you fall in line in this, right? And what you need to do different. All right?
Training yourself.
That's about training, bro. Making men great again.
Got it.
Train your dragon.
So tell them what's up.
All right? Train your dragon. That is kind of fitting for this situation. Have you seen that movie, by the way?
I have not.
Okay. Isn't that what it's called?
I really hope it's like a real metaphor for what we're about to talk about. Like some animator was like, every kid thinks this is a movie about dragons, but it's really about dicks.
He does just had a little broken wing. He got the wing that don't work, man.
He needs that.
He's a little limp. Lip winged.
They make medicine for that.
They do. That's what we call it, medicine. I need some of that medicine, honey. All right, so listen. There's two scenarios in which I think are important to a man that you should undergo on a consistent basis, I feel, right? One is getting a physical, right? The other is getting a massage. So the question becomes, if you're a man and you're getting a physical, is it okay? Should you? Why would you become aroused and gain an erection? Should the blood flow from your brain to your penis and swell up, right? And cause a reaction?
All right, so first question. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When do dudes need to get a physical? Because I'm kind of I hate doctors.
What? A physical, bro?
Yeah.
You're not getting shots, bro.
I can't remember the last time I got a physical.
You don't want to be healthy, bro. You don't want to run no laps, man. You got a hernia just waiting to happen, man. You got to go in there and check that thing out.
Doctor's not going
to
prevent a hernia.
I mean,
he's not going to look at me and be like, do these stretches. He's going to be like, nope, no hernia. Come back in 2 weeks when you do have one.
There may be. I'm not a doctor, but I'm sure there's got to be some preventative touches.
Dude, doctors, 99% of the time, it's a racket, bro. It's a freaking racket.
You're that guy, man. I'm just saying, I'm sure there's some preliminary something he can find out. Like, hey, man, you better be careful when you lift, bend from your knees.
So you go get a physical all the time?
I try to do at least every year, man. I mean, they do blood work too, man. They make sure you don't have whatever's in your blood. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. This is a super valuable visit we're taking to the doctor.
Bro, blood work is like life-giving, man. He could detect all kind of stuff. Like pre-diabetic. Like my last time I went, he was like, hey, man, this is good, but I'm a little concerned. This is pre-diabetic levels. I was like, well, I eat candy all day. Well, I don't eat candy, but I eat sweet stuff. So he's like, yeah, you might want to watch that. You know, so there's different things that can show up.
Did you change your pattern? Did you eat less?
Okay. I mean, okay.
This is what I thought. You're proving my theory.
No, the idea was like, all right, I know that because I don't know if I'm... He wasn't like, there's nothing identifiable that I know of that I do that would cause me to go from pre-diabetic to whatever. You know what I'm saying? And I should Google it.
To diabetic?
All right. There might be something in between, right? It might be like, hey, be careful. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't Google it. But I was like, I don't eat excessive candy. I don't even do high fructose corn syrup anymore. So it could have just been something else going on. You know what I'm saying? I should have followed up with him. But I was like, hey, man, I'm not diabetic, so we're good. I should have probably come back in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever and got my blood drawn again. That's besides the point. The fact of the matter is you're not going to deny the fact that every man needs a physical. Get a physical. Don't listen to Dan Duncan. Go get you a physical. Let this man grab your testicles, bend over, cough, whatever he has you do. Don't let him take pictures and make sure that you're safe.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. We can. It's your show. I live in it.
I'm just saying, bro. Don't do this, man.
I mean, I'm just saying.
What is your justification for not getting a physical?
That most doctors don't know what the hell they're talking about.
They just went to school for all that time.
We're freaking pin pushings, dude. They're like, yeah, maybe you have high blood pressure, so take this medicine. They got paid $200 to sell you that medicine.
Hey, man.
And they now are playing golf on Saturday with that money.
Hey, that's the name of the game, man.
And you show up 2 weeks later because that medicine caused some other problem in your life. Hey. That they then have to medicate for $200 more.
I'm just saying get a physical, all right? I'm just saying go get your blood pressure checked. I'm just saying, hey, make sure your nuts are good, man. You know
okay,
what I'm
so
saying?
That's what we're concerned about the nuts.
I'm concerned about my nuts. They work pretty well. I got 2 kids, but I'm saying there's other things that could be happening.
Fair.
You know what I'm saying? So, if... said gentleman, said doctor, is full hands on your man parts, and there's a little temperatures rising, your body's yearning. That's a little R. Kelly. You're not familiar with that, I'm assuming.
No, I don't like little boys.
Yikes. All right, well, I was talking about his music, but he likes little girls. But I appreciate the information. He does like them young. It's just not, well, we don't know if he likes boys, but he likes women. Anyway, all I'm saying is if the doctor's hands-on, knee-deep in the physical, you start feeling that pressure, is it okay? Is that a normal thing? Is it all right as a man for you to have a little nature rise?
No.
No?
Not at all.
Why not, man?
It's cold.
Yeah. But you get a little jangle-jangle down there.
No. My pants are currently, like, halfway down my legs.
Yep.
So the only time that they're really in that position is when I'm taking a shit.
Okay.
So
understood.
So cold, shitting position, most likely a male that I'm unattracted to, I would ask the doctor why this is happening. Because that might actually be the one thing he could speak to, because there is nothing in that situation that would turn me on. But you tell me why it's an okay thing.
Hey, man, it's a part of life, man. Blood flows in your brain to your penis. Erections happen. It could be that time of day. It could be morning wood. It could be afternoon wood. It could be evening wood. It could be just, you know, a natural visceral reaction to the process of getting your nuts checked.
No, dudes do this to themselves, which it always is funny because... This is ridiculous, but I always think it's so funny, like, seeing guys in public who they're clearly feeling their girl at that point in time, like in public, like whatever
PDA.
There's some PDA, but the after effects of the PDA, you always notice the guy like realizes like he didn't know what he just did to himself, like because he's got to like awkwardly tuck and like
adjust.
Pull and like the awkward waddle that's like maybe people don't see that like that my shorts don't quite fit the same way anymore. It's always so funny to me. I'm like, God, man, you couldn't wait like 10 minutes till you got someplace. Private.
So people like the people watch. You like the crotch watch.
I watch for the after effects dumb boys.
Okay. All right. All right. So no, it's not okay.
I'm trying to help men win again. Like
that's it, man. Hey, be great.
Be strategic about where your PDA takes place so that you can deal with the after effects.
I can agree with that. Tuck it. Tuck tight.
No one wants blue balls.
No one
wants the walking duck in the pants.
No one.
The walking duck, dude.
So
hashtag don't get the walking duck.
Don't get the walking duck. What I'm saying is, hey man, it's absolutely not okay for you to get an erection while your male doctor
Thank
is giving
you
a physical.
Finally, we agree. We just spent 10 minutes talking about this.
But if she's a female doctor, is it okay then?
I think it's okay, but I think you need to find ways to take very extreme measures quickly so that she doesn't get awkward, you don't get awkward.
Yep.
But I've heard stories of this happening to friends where they're like, I'm sorry, and they're like, and I literally verbatim, the female doctor was like, it happens.
Yeah. That's all you can say is that, hey, man, my bad. Don't poke her in the eye. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, if
it
that
works.
Happens, hey, you're okay. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, like, I agree that it's absolutely okay to get an erection. Now, to avoid embarrassment, you might want to avoid that situation. But I feel
start
like
start saying the Pledge of Allegiance or something like that.
Count numbers, you know, statistics, whatever it is that you have to do. You know what I'm saying? But by God, as a man, I'm just saying, do what you got to do to avoid the situation, because it's just embarrassing all the way around. You don't want to swell up in front of anybody. You know what I'm saying? Especially it's a medical procedure. But I'm not giving you a pass if it's a dude, and I'm definitely giving you a pass if it's a lady. Is that so like bad? Is that bad? Is that wrong of me?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I was just wondering.
I think there's inherent, I don't know, there's a medical term that I'm sure you could say that's like this
the physiology.
Does check the box and this does not check the box.
Okay, all right. I just wonder, man, I feel like we don't have the right type of listeners, but I want somebody like, this is so misogynistic, or this is so blah, 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 blah.
This
like,
is a dude podcast. Get the hell off if you're not, if you're upset right now.
I just want to have like a Twitter beef with somebody real quick, man. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think it's coming. So
I think everyone's very prepared for what we say on this podcast.
So if you're not familiar with, what's the TV show on HBO that I'm waiting to come back? Is it that late?
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, man. Shame.
The softcore porn that is the Game of Thrones.
Well, listen, I don't have an affinity for my white sisters, so it don't bother me too much. I just be like, all right, next scene. You know what I'm saying? You know, if it was something else, if it was Chocolate City, if it was Game of Chocolate, I might be in trouble, man.
There is somebody on Fort District, I won't name who, that tried to tell me that he couldn't like kind of like, you know, skip through those scenes because there's character development in those scenes.
There is. That is
that's a real genius thing.
That is genius. Yes, man. You get to know a lot about people in those intimate moments, man. You know what I'm saying? When they're naked, when they're vulnerable, when they're sharing the experience with someone
else.
Shut
up.
All right. That's fine. I'll take that. I don't even know. Oh, I was saying Game of Thrones because there's a scene where someone has to walk down naked through the city and they yell, shame, 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 as a way to make them repent. So if you're a man, you go to get a physical and you get an erection with the male doctor, I want you to hear my voice. Shame, shame, shame. And hopefully that will keep you from the swelling. And I do say if it's a woman too, there is some shame just because you should be able to control that in that moment. But if you don't lose it.
And it's cold. Like,
yeah.
I really hope, maybe you're kind of into certain things, but it's like, again.
Mm-hmm. Cold hands on the.
Cold hands, uh-huh. Powdered gloves. Yeah. Maybe these are checking someone's boxes, but.
Check. Fetish, yes. Latex, yes. All right.
I digress.
All right. So I'm saying, hey, I'm making men great again because I want to say, hey, you're all right with me. If you're getting that physical and said young doctor, she don't even have to be attractive. It's just a woman touching your parts. You're okay with me. If it's a man, on the other hand, I'm going to need you to do some research. I'm going to need you to talk to somebody, get some accountability, and see what's going on down there. All right? I just need you to have a conversation with somebody. Just check in. Just check in.
Moral of the story is go to the doctor, though, right?
That's the moral of the making men great again in this situation. What I'm leading to is you need to get your check out. If you're old enough, get your prostate. If you're young enough, just go ahead and get that physical. Because at the end of the day, man, we need you to be healthy.
I'll make an appointment.
All right. And if you're a man that happens to enjoy the company of men and you get an erection while you that man's giving you a physical, I guess you're all right, too.
Check the box.
Check the box, baby. That's all we're trying to do. Get your physical. All right.
Okay.
So this is the part that gets interesting because.
It's a little less gray area. More gray area.
It just depends on, you know, which angle you're coming from, how you bent over. Let's go back to the physical conversation. So. This is important to me because I have a daughter and a son. You know, I'm in that game right now. I have met people and had conversations with people, and I've also been a young man who was approaching a young woman and had to navigate this thing well. The idea here is, hey, if you're a dad and your daughter and or your son is dating someone that you don't approve of, how do you proceed? The reality is proceed with caution. We're going to give you some tangible evidences of what works and what doesn't work and give you some advice on how to proceed or how not to proceed, depending on what you want your outcome to be.
Absolutely.
All right.
Dads, we're about to give you the inside game that you probably forgot at this point in your life.
I just need you to remember who you were. If you're a dad, meaning you had a wife at one point in time, if you still have her, hopefully you do, and you have children, you have been that guy that was pursuing that woman. And trying to bed her. I mean, wife, or make her your lifelong companion. Right?
All right. So let's start with scenario one, right? Okay.
Scenario one.
So dad has a young daughter.
Yeah. Or old daughter, whatever it is.
You know, when is the ripe age that a father should be thinking about letting his daughter date?
Well,
in your professional opinion.
Professional opinion, 77? That's a good age to let your daughter date, I think, right? Me personally, I'm going to tell my daughter to live her life until she's ready to get married. So there's, like, dating is stupid. Have friends, do what you do. You know, don't have any expectation for him to pay for anything unless y'all Facebook official. Like, I've had the conversations on Twitter. But my thing is, like, yo, like, male or female, my son or my daughter, like, yo, if you're not ready to be settled down, why even pretend to be that? Because that's what dating is for. Dating is for settling down. Dating is for engagement, is for marriage. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Right? Like dating, like kicking it, having a good time, going Dutch, making sure that he's clear, that she's clear, that this is what this is. That's what you should be doing up until the point in time you're ready. All right? So I would like my daughter to see the world, go to college if that's what she chooses to do. Do whatever she wants to do before she settles down, because once you get married, life changes and children, a lot of things are over, you know what I'm saying? Or need to be augmented in some sort of way, right? So my thing is, like, I'm not like, hey, you're 13, get you a boyfriend now. Hey, you're 16, get you a boyfriend now. Hey, you're 18, get you a boyfriend now. I'm like, hey, if you're going to date, dating is with the intention of getting married, engagement, blah, 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 blah. You follow me? You know what I'm saying?
I disagree.
You can. I don't care. No, I care. I love you. Go ahead. Tell me why you disagree.
I mean, I think it works in theory, but I think we as people like just inherently desire to have that other person that we that you are, you know, emotionally connected to. you know, this relationship that, you know, we all long, like yeah. want to have yeah. forever. We mimic it as we're growing up. Yeah. And I would totally agree that a lot of times it leads to terrible outcomes
yeah.
because you're emotionally getting super connected mm-hmm. when ultimately that it's not forever.
Right.
But at the same time, I remember hearing verbatims of what you just said mm-hmm. when I was 16. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's crap.
Yeah, but you were trying to poke at 16.
No.
No. Well, you were trying to hold hands vigorously? You were trying to get side hugs?
I mean, just full disclosure, I had no intention of going that far. Now,
okay.
Yeah, sure. There were other intentions. But
a whistle will be wet.
But I plead the fifth.
Okay, exactly. So what I'm saying is, someone would have to convince me at 12, 13, 16, 18, what is the goal in being in a one-on-one relationship?
Okay.
Right?
So it's dad, yeah. I'll play daughter, son.
Yeah.
So like, we just have fun together, dad.
Cool. You can have fun with all of them. You know what I'm saying? Why? My thing is, why be locked down to one person that you have to answer to, blah, 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 whatever comes with being in a relationship when you're not in a situation where you're trying to be married to that person? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can have one-on-one relationships with more than one person, right?
Yeah.
You can develop friendships. You can figure out what she likes, what he likes, what's going on, what works and what doesn't work. But if you're not trying to get married, like, why get your heart set up in that situation? Just to be jealous when she kicks it with somebody else, or just to be want to fight somebody, or just to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
okay, so ideal situation, yeah. I get it. But in this scenario, yeah. your daughter
yeah.
says at 16, this is my boyfriend.
Right. If she says at 16, this is my boyfriend, my job is to destroy this. that's my job. My job is to blow this up.
Okay.
And I have to be slick about it, right?
All
right.
So talk me through this.
So you got to be wise when you're easing on in that thing, right? Because at 16 years old, if you make yourself the enemy, that's just going to make him like her even more, right? 16, 18, 21. After that, daughters probably have some sense. You know what I'm saying? And they may have it at 16. It just depends. But more than likely, if you come in and you're public enemy number one, it's going to end up in some resistance, mm-hmm. right? What I mean by public enemy number one is if you're overt and saying, I hate that dude and I don't like you for liking him, like, you become public enemy number one.
Now, do you hate him just off the very fact that he is your daughter's boyfriend? Or if he's a good dude, mm-hmm. do you still want to blow it up?
He's a good dude and he's trying to smash. Like, even when he's trying to marry her, he's a good dude and he's trying to smash, right? But at least when you're later on in life and you're actually going to get married, okay, you're going to smash my daughter. I have to live with that, right? I want grandkids.
Can you not just say smash my daughter?
Hey, man, dude, what else do you want me to say? Sweet love? You want me to pretend like...
I don't know. I don't have a better option.
The same things you're doing with your wife, somebody's going to do your daughter one day, man. Like, that's just the reality of it.
Come on, bro.
I don't want to think about that. I don't want to live in that world. But I have to come to grips with it, man.
We got to help these men out.
You know what I'm saying? It's going to happen, bro. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So I would... My thing is I would much rather that be on the horizon for potential marriage than just in high school. I don't want my daughter losing her virginity in the backseat of a car.
Okay, but so... Okay, so how do you, though... I want you to finish.
Yeah.
Like, talking through how you snake your way into sabotaging the relationship mm-hmm. in the most healthy way possible
yeah.
and how that works.
Yes.
But I also want you to address, if mm-hmm. you can, mm-hmm. like, there was more dads doing this uh-huh. that you're describing. Yeah. Like, you can't date, blah, blah, yeah, blah. Yeah, yeah. And those were the girls that had the most pent up.
The most
hardcore swing.
Yeah.
The most, like, I'm just going to do everything I want now because my dad said he doesn't want me to do it.
Yeah.
So talk about that, too.
So the thing is, again, it's about being slick. It's not saying, hey, I don't want you to date. It's just saying, hey, you have the option not to. Right? You have the option to be free. Not saying loosey-goosey and give everybody a little bit. But I'm saying, like, hey, if I can get her to understand and believe, like, you don't have to succumb to the idea that you have to be in a committed relationship at 16 years old. You know what I'm saying? Because you got other stuff going on. You got sports, maybe. You got school. You got a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And the emotional baggage that comes along at that age, in any age, really, with relationships, is just one more thing to have to put on your plate unnecessarily. You know what I'm saying? So if you coming out the gate, I don't even know what horses do when they come out the gate. I was going to say guns blazing, but that's not what horses do. Adrenaline pumping? I don't know. Then what is the follow-up to come out the gate? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. If you just come out the gate too fast and too strong, you're going to die out quickly, right?
Sure.
And you're not going to finish the race.
Sure.
So you have to mask your one, not your whatever. And if you're different, if your desire is for them to date, then you can't be overly excited about it because you're like, oh, well, I can date. And you know what I'm saying? And then everything's all willy-nilly, like yeah. There's parameters. Like, yeah, I want you to date, but, you know, these are some guidelines that would make sense for dating, right?
Yeah.
If you come out and say, hey, man, do you, and you don't give any parameters, they're going to let the boy set the trend for that.
Yeah,
you know
sure.
what I'm saying? So then you leave it up to him. So if you're in a situation where you realize, I don't like this young man, the best thing to do is become an ally, right?
Okay.
So that he trusts you, right? So that you're in there, so that you can plant subtle seeds of, hey, man, this girl is too good for me. Man, I shouldn't do this girl this way. Man, this dad's a really nice guy, and I would hate to disappoint him. Me touching her is going to make him sad. And let me not do that, right?
Okay.
Me spoiling her forever, like spoiling not in a like money sense, but like ruining her life is not something that I want to do.
Sure.
So let me not approach this girl in this way, right?
Playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Some dad does that to you. Yeah. Do you give a damn that he's cool and you're worried about?
I mean, it depends.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I've had a dad yoke me up and be like, hey, man, like, what are you doing and what's your plan? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was a little older and I was like, man, I don't really know. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But that made me think twice, like, man, like,
he cares about his daughter.
He cares
clearly.
About his daughter. Right. You know what I'm saying? And so there probably will be some recompense if this doesn't work out. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I'll have to deal with that one way or another. But
yeah.
But it won't be because I was a, you know, asshole. You know what I'm saying? Right?
Yeah, like, no, I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that made my will spin in a different direction, and I had to really, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
again,
yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's because I was, you know, in my 20s at 16, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? So that's where the trick bag comes in of do you do the bad boys too with the shotgun, you know, and you're cleaning out your guns, and you know, hey, come in here, let's have this conversation. Of course you do that. That's of course. But you don't have to outright threaten, and you know what I'm saying? Try to figure out how to, like, intimidate, right? There's two ways to intimidate. You can intimidate by force, or you can intimidate with kindness, right?
Sure.
And the kindness is like, yo, Mr. Parker, Mr. Duncan, I don't really know. I feel like they're cool, but I feel like they might cut me at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So that's the balance you're shooting for.
Yeah, right?
It's like, he's cool with me as long as I respect his daughter, but...
Yeah.
And so he's a good hang until then. But the second I cross this line, he might kill me.
You want him to be like, you know what? Hey, girl, little Parker girl, you trying to give it to me right now. You set me up because your daddy will kill me. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to like, oh, your dad ain't tripping if I get these.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
Right? So even if he does get them, you want him to be nervous as hell. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, I can't even enjoy this. It's over already because I'm scared. You know what I'm saying? You don't want him to be comfortable in there in the rhythm. You don't want that dude in the rhythm in that thing. You want him to be over quick. Like, I'm nervous. And I just want this to be a terrible experience. If he's enjoying that thing, you done something wrong, Dad. All right?
Fair enough,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the trick is, though, if you feel as if you're too involved and you can't be the ally yourself, then you got to plant like spies in the kingdom. You know what I'm saying? Either you have your brother or somebody that maybe that's like a brother to you, that's close to your daughter, getting good with the kid, figure out what's going on, have a cool auntie that's talking to the daughter, kind of figure out what's happening. Like, hey, man, like, how do we navigate this thing? Because the idea is you want to know what's going on. And if you're the bad guy, if you're enemy number one, you're not getting that information.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or it's secondhand information after the fact. You know what I mean? You got to have somebody that's in there. So that's a plan that has to work even before she gets the dating age. You as a dad have to know, like, hey, who do I have in my life that can be a plant, that could be cool uncle or cool auntie or cool cousin, so that when I need this information, it's readily available to me. So
okay.
You got that's ASAP. That's like the minute you find out son or daughter, the bun is in the oven. All right, let me figure this thing out.
Okay, I got you.
You feel me?
Yeah. I know for me, like when I was coming of age and like pursuing different females, like there was multiples that kind of made me out to be the, like, now granted I was the furthest thing from this, but like in the spheres of like that I lived in, like I was the most rebellious, and I say that with the largest like caveat, air quotes, because I was not a Christian,
right.
I became a Christian, started going to church, and I was around all these girls that, to me, it was like, oh, this guy has gone to parties before, like, so it's for them, I was like this like rare,
you're the bad boy,
exactly, and it was the greatest thing in the world that all the dads played into that whole thing too,
yeah.
Because not only did like did was that kind of the perception already, but as soon as the parents caught wind of their daughter hanging out with me, it was like, you're not hanging out with that boy.
Yeah.
And it was like, they just gave me the keys to the kingdom.
That's it, man. Let
because I could pull up at midnight, hop in the car, play that bad boy, like, I'll take you away from this very mundane world that you live in and show and take you to one of these crazy parties.
Yeah.
That you have only seen in the movies, that's kind of it. Thing.
Come on.
And it was all I needed.
That's it. That's all you needed.
So what you're saying makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you're saying is like, don't treat your daughter like she can't handle, like, treat your daughter how to think, not what to think.
Right.
That's basically what you're saying.
Yep. That's it.
Okay. So let me ask another question then. How do you, like, what in your, like, again, professional opinion is like, you've seen a bunch of this stuff, like, what is the root? Me and some friends were talking about this on the beach. I just went on vacation with Allison.
Baller.
We went to the beach. and we're on the beach, bro. Uh-huh. And I kid you not, we're sitting there, and me and my wife are talking, and these three girls come up to Allison and say, "Hey, do you mind taking a picture of us?" And they'd already been taking selfies for 25 minutes. Oh my God. We are laughing at them.
Yeah.
And they come up and they're like, "Can you take a picture of us?" Like, and Allison was like, "Yeah, sure, that's fine." And she was like, "Yeah, we're just gonna do like the regular drunk girl pose." I kid you not, that is exactly what came out of their mouth. So Allison takes the picture. They continue with their like selfies on the beach and like whatever. And I'm like, how do you, like, those girls clearly have self-esteem issues with how many pictures they're taking is what I'm assuming. But too, like, how does your daughter not get daddy issues? Like, I feel like there's like this, like, the girls I grew up around that went to, a lot of them ended up with like just very clear, like, did not have that person that kind of gave them that self-confidence that like kind of told them that they were beautiful. So they looked for it in a million other places.
Yeah.
How does that happen? And like, and I know some girls that had good dads that just like still happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of it is a, DNA game. It's like some people are just wired to just be wild, you know what I'm saying, and just want to learn from experience, and other people can learn from other people's experience, right? I think what you're describing is probably a situation where there wasn't enough affirmation, there wasn't enough dads paying attention to their daughters and making sure that they did and said the right thing so that they wouldn't have to look for that in other people. And then it could be a lack of rules, you know, too much freedom, or it could be too much being wound up tight and trying to lock them away and Rapunzel, right?
You know what I mean?
So it's a delicate balance, but at the same time, you have to understand that on some extent, your children are a reflection of you, right? And to another extent, people are going to do what they want to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you can't, it's unfortunate that you can't hold too tightly to the parent game, right? Because it's like trying to hold grease in your hand or capture the wind or whatever the case may be. It's kind of like you have to set up good parameters, set up ground rules, set your children up for success, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hope that they make those right decisions. But the goal is to give them the tools that they need.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? And so these girls, like the regular, even like the mentality, we're just going to do the regular drunk girl pose. Like, why? That's stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so are you pretending to be drunk? You know what I'm saying? Or are you saying that you are drunk?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, you don't want to raise a party girl. You know what I'm saying?
So, do you believe in, like, the whole mentality that, like, dating your daughter, this whole, like...
Yeah, I don't know how much it worked because I haven't got to that phase. You know what I'm saying? I know, like, from books and then the people that I'm talking to in the game that I've gotten, it's like, yeah, you definitely have to set the... Dating your daughter is to set the bar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to set my daughter up in such a way where I am her Prince Charming because I don't want some dude to have to come behind me and necessarily be all these X, Y, and Z things. I want her to have a standard. Because me, when I met my wife, I had just stopped working for Reach, and I was playing video games all day, and my next job was when I do taxes, you know what I mean? That wasn't coming up until January. So yeah, 2:30 in the afternoon, I'm playing video games. That's what I'm doing. Yeah, I live with my dad because my dad left when I was 12, and I feel like he owed me some time. So I was living with him rent-free, you know what I'm saying? Doing what I need to do, take out the trash sometimes, you know, or whatever. Yeah, but, yeah. I was going to be there till he put me out. Yeah. That was my mentality. But I didn't have a job, da-da-da, blah, blah, blah. We were in get. I was, you know, working at some point in time after we got together. Showed her my work ethic, did what I had to do, got employee of the month at Office Depot my first month because I couldn't find a job in Atlanta for some reason after tax season was over with. Minimum wage, whatever the case may be, but I grinded and did what I had to do. Stopped working, went to school and all of that. So my thing is, I can't say, daughter, this dude needs to be making X amount of money, da 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 da, because you know he might be a diamond in the rough. You know, look at me now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had ambition. But I had a plan. But I had an undergraduate degree. You know, I was working on my master's, so there was a certain level of like, hey,
sure.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like I bring
some
I'm
of
bring,
your ish together.
Right, right. I bring something to the table.
Yeah.
You know, so you want her to understand like, hey, dude needs to be this. But like me and my wife still argue about certain things. Like we got into arguments about killing bugs like the first year of our marriage, and it's still a source of contention, and I just kill them now. But like she's like, I mean, I know dudes that would come to my, you know, before we got married, I know dudes that would come at midnight to come kill a bug. And I'm like, yeah, he was also trying to smash, like it's cool. Like, oh, he was just a friend. Yeah, I'm glad you think he was just a friend. But if he's coming over at midnight to kill a bug, he's hoping to spend a night.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? And if he leaves right after he kills that bug, he's not coming to kill that bug again. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, she just like, yo, you're a grown woman. You shouldn't be afraid of bugs. Two, you should kill your own bugs. Three, don't wake me up out of my sleep to kill a bug, right? But now, 5 years in the game, let me kill all the bugs.
But I get your point, because like in my family for sure, like my dad set such a high standard for my sister that it took a real dude that could like even still probably hang in there with some stuff that's like. Like, my brother-in-law is amazing.
Yeah. Shout out.
Yeah, shout out to Adam. But, like, at the same time, my dad, like, kind of set such a high bar that I think that there has been, like, contention of, like, hey, man, like, he was Prince Charming. He did set that bar. So, it's super interesting thing of, like, I feel like, you know, a lot of times on social media and other things, like, I see dads treating their daughters like princesses, and I get that motivation. Mm-hmm. Of course, you love this little girl.
Yeah.
She's your whole world. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's like, at the same time, you can come out the other side of that where you kind of try to not end up with daddy issues on your hands, but you end up with a girl who can never find a man that's like lives up to where you were at 30
because
she's meeting 21-year-olds that aren't 30 and don't have the career experience, don't have the security, don't have the bank account, don't have the ability. And that's just like an unfair reality that you're setting your daughter up where she's not going to be happy. She's not going to find a dude that fits her checklist until she's 32.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and then now you have your whole other set of issues.
That's it, man. Them ovaries, man. Time clock. Tick, tick, tick.
It's interesting, man. Just with a kid on the way for me, it's like there's... I knew all these things about what allowed me to play the game that I wanted to play when I was in high school.
Right.
And so, obviously, hopefully we'll learn from some of those things and not enable some of those things. But now thinking through being a dad, it's like, how do I not, you know, how do you find that middle ground where you do trust them? And now we can kind of get into the guy stuff. So because for me, this was where like my dad did a good job of like, I remember one night that I made some pretty bad mistakes. It was probably like the one night in my life that I did make some like just blatantly don't do this. And I went ahead and did some things, and it was like I came home that night. I can still remember to this day walking through my back gate being like, that was really dumb.
Like, not a good idea.
I had my dad kind of walk me through some of these things. This is bad ideas. Don't do these things. These will have repercussions. And I think all that to say, like, there wasn't a lot of those nights because I was like, I learned how to think about things. But as you have dads listening up with the son's piece, the son's piece is way easier to be like, hey man,
don't get her pregnant.
Go run. and that's the joke, right?
Like,
just don't get her pregnant.
Yeah.
You have your uncle like You need some
condoms, boy.
Undoing all the good advice you're doing because they just want to be funny for 5 seconds and they don't know what to say.
Yep.
So what advice are you going to give to dads of the 16-year-old? You will have a 16-year-old son.
Yeah. I think the thing is you got to be gentle on how you tell her that she's not it, right? If that's the game, right? I think with moms, it's a little more like the more that they push she's not it, the more that sons are like, oh, she's, you know what I'm saying? But I think if you have a good rapport with your son, he will understand that she's not it, right? So the game is trying to get I feel it's the same way. Hey, man, if you're not trying to marry her, don't get caught up in a solo bolo. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to lead to emotions. It's going to lead to feelings. You're probably going to want to fight somebody. And it's from heartbreak coming. Because you're not marrying unless it could happen. You could be 16 and fall in love and you marry her at some point in time. But at the end of the day, it's like, man, like, son, like, yo, this ain't it. And I'm not saying knock them all down. What I am saying is that this ain't it. I'm pretty sure if you get in this relationship, y'all probably will break up and then it's on to the next one and you got to deal with the shenanigans and the heartache after that.
Sure.
It's, hey, learn from her who she is, what you want, what you don't want. And when the time is ready, if this is the only girl that's still around, go ahead, man. Put a ring on it. You know what I mean? But the thing is being able to help them understand what can I learn from this girl? What are some characteristics that I like? What are some characteristics that I don't like? So that if I be friends with somebody else or somebody else or somebody else, when I am ready to marry, I have a resume to know what are good characteristics and what is my personality and what is it. And then that might change. What you like at 16, you might like not like at 18 and 20 and 22 and 24. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's avoiding the bad girl, right? I literally had a girl set me up in high school. A dude was going to try to kill me, literally. He had the means to kill me. I'm trying to talk to this girl. Don't have no game. I don't understand what's going on in my life. She tells me one day, hey, such as I said, he's going to kill you. What? Why would he kill me?
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, she's talking to this dude too. He's actually getting them. I'm not getting none of them. Like, I'm about to die and I'm not even reaping the benefits. You know what I'm saying? He putting seeds in her when she put two babies in her. I'm not touching nothing. You know what I'm saying? Not so much as getting a good smell. You know what I'm saying? I like your perfume.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying? Sure.
And what she's doing is telling this dude all kind of whatever. He's getting upset. He's getting frustrated. He's getting mad. And he's like, oh, I'm about to kill this dude. You know what I'm saying? This is Southern California in the 90s at its finest. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yo, like, son, you need to avoid these type of women. Why be in a relationship with this type of woman?
Sure.
Why, you know, not that all women are like that, but it's like, yo, if you're not even in that situation to where she's your chick, you ain't even got to worry about being in situations like that, right?
Yeah.
So the idea is like, hey, this is about learning. This is about growing. This is about figuring out what it is that you do and do not want later on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, man, I think back on those times, like, because I had, again, guys, mentors looking at me saying very similar things. Mm-hmm. And I remember kind of like, if I'm honest with myself, now at that point in time, I wouldn't have been.
Yeah, right.
But if I'm honest with myself, I wanted to date girls for two reasons. Mm-hmm. And so take these motivations and help a dad address them. Yeah. Motivations were, if I date her, I can get what I want.
Put something in her. Maybe not. You didn't want to go that far. Right. You just wanted a good handshake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Front hug.
And two, I wanted exclusive rights to like her to her emotions to that relationship with her. And I didn't want any other dudes like feeling like that. I wanted to kind of carve out my territory for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
And again, good motivations? Hell no.
Right.
Like it's basically just like as animalistic as it can kind of get is like marking my territory, whatever. But but all guys kind of feel that motivation to do that, kind of make sure that they have what they want.
Right.
So how do you help a dude at 16 with hormones raging that the norm is to find that girl, find a girlfriend, so on and so forth.
I mean, you realize what I'm saying is countercultural. Like this is like the idea of trying to teach kids not to date, right? Even so that it's not just not to date, but
they
so
have
that,
the option not to date.
The option not to, because there's other things you could be doing, and don't do that until you are ready to be done dating, right? So the idea is like if hormones are raging, if you're just trying to, you know, smash, if the teenage son is just trying to get it, I mean, it's pretty much nothing that's going to make sense. my world changed the first time I kissed a girl. I was 12 years old. This girl I did not like. I didn't find her attractive. We was at the homie's house playing Truth or Dare. Of course, I get stuck with her. The girl I wanted to figure out what I can do with, my homeboy got, right? And he was always getting all the girls, man. Like, I couldn't even win in Truth or Dare, bro. I don't even know if we draw straws or Rochambeau. I don't remember what we did. But I was like, bro, like, how does this never work in my favor, man? All I know is we get to the room. I'm doing this whole, like, she's trying to kiss me. I'm turning my face away, doing all this other stuff. And then finally, I gave in, and she kissed me. And my whole world changed. I was like, oh, my God. Why was I running from this? Put your tongue in my mouth one more time. I'm going to be late tonight. I'm going to get in trouble because I want to do this forever. I want to kiss you forever. And from that point on, my whole life was about the right haircut, brushing my teeth, keeping my breath fresh, having cool clothes, which I never had because mom's wasn't about that life. And never had a fresh haircut because she wasn't about that life. You know what I'm saying? But my whole, what I wanted to do changed in the sense that it was about getting a female. So, because I want to kiss again. Then that just elevates right after that. You know, you secrete your first one. You're like, oh my God, what just happened in my body? I want to do that forever, all the time. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, if he's already at that point, it's just about helping him make wise decisions. I'm not saying tell him to strap up, but you got to tell him to strap up. I'm not saying, hey, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? At that point in time, it's damage control. But if you can convince him, like, hey, there's more to it and do other things, then you can. And it's about keeping them busy. You know, kind of like when your dad was on the show, finding parameters, making rules that aren't really the rules. You have a real set of rules, but your rules are such a way that if he breaks those rules, it's all good. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just being, keeping them active, keeping them in sports, keeping them in the chess club, doing whatever you got to do so that his mind is on other things. But if a teenage boy is active and his nose is open, it's a Pringles, bruh. Once you pop, you can't stop.
Yeah, man. You know what I mean? And I think, too, like, yeah, my dad was on the show, and we kind of talked a little bit about kind of this stuff, but I will say that there, not to take anything away from my dad, because I did think he had like some really good insights and ideas. I will say, like, he avoided the subject like the plague, though. Like, action oriented wise, like, he understood like how to keep me active and like kind of kept my mind going on other things as well, my motivations like in other places as well. But like, I would say like the win, at least in my experience, personal experience, is that fathers and men need to push into those situations that they find awkward.
Yeah, in the
sense of like, this is an awkward conversation. No. I don't know how to talk with you about this. I know this is your motivation. Yeah. I know you won't admit this to me.
Yeah, but
we need to talk about it.
Yeah.
Versus my dad wouldn't touch my like the dating relationship with a 10-foot pole. He didn't want to talk about it. He didn't know how to talk about it. I don't know if it was because it made him feel uncomfortable. I don't know if it was because it had been like a long enough time since he'd been in a dating relationship. He didn't like really know how to like discuss that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like a simple conversation like you're describing of like, hey, let me help you think through this would have gone a long way, even to like, full disclosure, like my dad wasn't even the one to give me the sex talk. Like my mom stepped up and like gave me that the sex talk. 'Cause my dad's like, I don't know how to do this. And so I just like,
that's funny.
The win for, I think, dads is like, look, you got to own the super awkward reality that is like helping your sons navigate hormones and being 16 or being 13. And it happens earlier now than ever.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
cause they're going to be talking to their friends about it, right?
Yeah.
You want to be, and that's the takeaway. You want to be the person that's having the conversation with your son and giving him the game. And I think people may fear like, oh, I'm going to plant seeds. They're already having the conversation.
That's good.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to plant a seed that's not there unless they've just been in a box somewhere or they've been homeschooled or whatever the case may be. Kids are showing your son porn on the bus. And you're like, what the heck? You want to be in a situation where, like, I've had a friend that told me, like, I had to take my kid off the bus in elementary school because some kid was showing him porn. And he was, thank God that his kid came to like, hey, Dad, tell me, what do I do about this? And like, if you did, if, imagine if he didn't have that conversation, like if he didn't have that, not conversation, but
thought,
relationship.
Yeah.
If he didn't have that relationship with his son wouldn't be coming and telling him what's going on, and he wouldn't know to pull his son. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you want to be in a situation where you're able to guide and lead and have those conversations, and you don't want the world to teach him, and you don't want the, you know, peers and TV and all this other stuff. You know, you want to be, you want to be in control, not control, but you want to be the person that bring that.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think one piece of advice I wish someone had given me, maybe we should go into this section because I'd love to hear what you would say. Like, what's one piece of advice that as a dude you wish your dad had given you? Out of experience, I've come out of like, I look back on all the girls that I was like, I would have given anything for them to pay attention to me, for us to be more than friends in high school, that I chased around all of my hours. Yeah. I wasted a lot of hours. Yeah. To your point, like, you could be doing a lot with your energy and this is what you're choosing to do it with. Yeah. I wish someone had been like, I know you think that they are the sexiest thing to ever walk this planet.
Yeah.
But in 5 years, they are going to be anything but that. Like, literally, bro, like the five girls that everyone like could not like get out of their minds in high school are today five girls that like you walk by the street, you wouldn't even think about like looking at.
Yeah.
Versus the five girls that like were like the like kind of like mediocre, ugly duckling girls you see now and you're like, dang.
Yep, I blew it.
You went and went and grew up.
Yep.
And like, and thankfully I married one of those girls.
There you go, there you go. Get them. You know
but in the reality, I stumbled into that reality very subconsciously and not really knowing what was going on. But I wish someone had been like, this, what you're perceiving does not last forever.
Right. Yeah.
And these, even friends, man, like friends in high school, girls in high school, this high school, I think it's really this high school reality that you determine and believe is going to be this lasting reality forever.
Yep.
And you get out of high school, like we see kids going to prom and we're like, this is dumb.
But
for me in that moment, in that limousine, like this is the culmination of my entire reality. This is
it right here. Yeah, man.
And so, all right. So that's my piece of advice. Yeah. What's one piece of advice you wish someone had told you?
I think the biggest thing is really understanding that you have the rest of your life to be in a committed relationship. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had weird rules where I was like, hey, if you're not my girlfriend, I'm not trying to do this. If you know what I'm saying? I was a, what do you want to call it? A ruralist. What's the word? I can't think. What
legalist?
Legalist. Or moralist. No, I was a moralist. And so, like, I had these moral codes that guided me, which were good, and it kept me away from a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I wish somebody would have helped me understand, like, man, you really have to understand that there's a lot of things in life that are more important than Nani. Like, these are two podcasts in a row. We talking about that Nani. That Nani is a powerful thing. Bro, that Nani will get you doing things you shouldn't be doing. Like, going to a girl's house is telling you some dude is trying to kill you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so if I had real conversations and some guy was telling me, like, yo, see the world, travel, put some money in a bank, buy a motorcycle, you know, do some things that are kind of fun, like, you will have every opportunity to be to get that at some later point in time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And not saying that I would have followed that, but it would at least would have given me an idea, like, yo, like, I don't have to chase this thing. There are other things in life that I can do. It's like, why must I chase the cat? I was about to say the same thing twice. I was trying to think of that George Clinton song. Why must I feel like that? Why must I chase the cat? You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, like, nothing but the dog in me. Roof. You know? And I was a dog unintentionally because the streets told me that that's what the thing that you needed to do.
This is manliness.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But as I'm older now and I'm realizing, like, hey, especially in marriage, I'm not going to get it every night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe you have a different, you know, y'all do what you do. No. You know what I'm saying? But I've come to realize, like, yo, like, even in my wife and premarital, you better blah, 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 blah. I was like, oh, she about this life. And then I get married and I'm like, oh, that was just talk. She was a virgin and had no idea what sex entailed. And it's a lot. It's from emotionally being there, physically being available, to I'm not getting on her nerves so she feels good, to me having to warm the kettle and do all these extra things. I'm like, yo, so it's just not like TV. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
Right? So if I had understood what I know now, like, there, it's not what you think it's going to be, and it's not what TV and movies make it. There are other things you can do, right, to enjoy life up until that point where you, I mean, even like being married and not being able to travel like you want to, having children and not being able to travel like you want to, being able to just, I'm just going to spend money on whatever like I want to, like, there's a, you know, there's a lot of things. And even if you're not married, if you're just in a relationship, like, there's just certain, you're just tied down to certain things.
Yeah.
I want to go to college here, But you got this girlfriend in high school, you're like, oh, well, let me stay home because we want to be together forever. Then you realize, oh, we're going to break up week one when we get there and I see all these girls or she sees all these other dudes. Man. You know what I mean?
That's real though, bro.
Right.
So, people make decisions like that.
Yeah. So long story short, I just wish somebody had told me like, hey, man, the 90 is a wonderful thing. But at the end of the day, there's other experiences that are waiting for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And maybe break down and show me and give me some guidance and point me in a direction of what are these other things.
All right, so last question to close it out, because I feel like this is probably the question that any parent facing raising children, currently have children, children coming in my case, like the sexualization, I guess that's the term, of our culture, especially in the United States. How do you push back, like outside of creating a colony and like raising your kids in this like,
cult.
Like far off land where they don't hear technology or see or touch technology. How do you raise children in this culture to where they understand the culture, but they also understand that that's not the way things should be?
Exposure at the appropriate age, right?
Okay.
You know, you don't, statistics show, you know, American Psychological Association, all these different things that, you know, exposure too early is damaging, right? So you want to know your kid and you want to know when, like, hey, man, being honest, like, yo, sex is amazing. It can be. But there's also all kind of repercussions from diseases to babies to your world changes. And now you're just trying to
get it. So when you say exposure, can you, like, explain what that means?
So, yeah, so if it's explaining birds and bees, like, hey, you can get pregnant, something can happen, blah, 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 blah. I'm not saying show them porn so they can see what it's like,
right.
Just, you know, just making sure that you don't not like that you aren't afraid of having real conversations and making sure that they understand like, yo, sex does feel good. It's not a bad thing, but it needs to be done in such a way in such a type of circumstances that it's okay. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, from my perspective, it's marriage, of course. Right. But you don't want it to be presented in a demonizing way where their curiosities are piqued in such a way where they're just like, well, let me just go find out. Like, I mean, that's going to happen anyway, but you want to minimize that because like you said, the culture is going to give them all that. But I think when people have a real sense of what things are, it can curb curiosity to a sense, but at least you're doing what you've done. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And you give them a sense of like, hey, this is what awaits you on the other side of this thing.
Yep.
And if maybe I would have understood that, like, hey, man, the first time your testicles release them bad boys, your world will be changed forever. I may have held. I mean, I did pretty good. I was like almost 18. Like that was my goal, like my moralist goal, like 18. I almost made 18. But it's like, man, if I had just knew life was going to be different after that, I may have been like, you know what? Let me just hold off a little longer.
Yeah.
You know? And I can't say that I would have. But the idea is like you just have to – and I hope I'm not too vague. Hopefully I'm specific enough. But you just got to take measures into your own hands as a parent, as a dad, to figure out how do you expose but not overexpose? How do you give truth? How do you – guide, shape, and mold their curiosities in such a way where you're the person that they're coming to and asking questions, that you're the person they're being truthful with, that you're the person that they run ideas by, and that they're not trying to sneak and hide and feel guilt and shame about something that's natural. Like sex is natural, sexual attraction is natural, getting an erection is natural. For daughters, feeling however daughters feel is natural, you know what I'm saying? But you want them to be free and comfortable to know that they can come to you and talk about it.
Yeah, totally. And I think, not that I was probably like, it's different with alcohol, but like for me, like what I do know is like I felt the exposure was so my dad like took us, I was probably 13, took us down to Bourbon Street on like and walked, we walked Bourbon Street when I was 13. Yeah. And I will forever remember like that experience and him being like, this is what I like this, like alcohol lets people have fun, but they also like that dude right there that just stumbled in front of you and fell on his face.
Yep.
This is like,
that's it.
This is alcohol going too far.
Yeah.
And honestly, like the deal with my dad from the time I turned probably 15 and hit high school till the time I turned 21 was if you want to drink alcohol, I want to drink alcohol with you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go get a case of beer.
Yeah.
And we're going to drink the entire thing together.
And you'll be sick as a dog.
And you were like, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I want to be there with you when you do it. Cause I want to be part of that experience for you that first time that you're drinking. And I think it's, how do you take that same, obviously with sex, it's very, very different.
Son, I'm going to take you to the strip club. We're going to get these lap dances.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like when you don't like it, of course you're going to like it. So alcohol is a little different. Right. Yeah. But it's trying to find those same ways to take the mysteriousness out of it say like, and to be honest, I don't know what that is.
It's education, right? Because you can't just go, hey, son, go get wet. And we talk about it, right? The idea is like when I was in high school, I don't know what they do now in my biology class. They showed us like stuff. Like one of the things that I remember to this day, seeing somebody with herpes and they had like potato buds growing from their vagina and penis. It was like, you know, when you leave, have you ever left a potato out somewhere and after a while it grows like the little arms? Like, bro, that was coming from somebody's crotch. And I was like, hell to the gnaw, bro. I was like, I don't know what that is and how you get that, but I do not want that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm good, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, like stuff like that, it lasted a while. Again, until I got that, you know, let that first one go. I was like, oh, shoot. This feeling right here. I just have to figure out how to avoid these potato buds. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But just, you know, being truthful, doing sex education stuff, again, at the appropriate time, not waiting till it's too late. Not, you know what I'm saying? Because one thing my mom told me, she was like, yo, you get crabs from not washing your privates. And I was like, oh, shoot, let me wash my privates every day. No, that's not how you get crabs. You get crabs for having sex with a girl who has crabs. You know what I'm saying? That's how you get crabs. That's what she should have told me. Not from not washing. I was like, oh, maybe it's after you have sex and you don't wash. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, have sex, get crabs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a delicate thing because sex is a life-changing big thing or whatever the case may be. But it's exposure, education, being honest, and, you know, yeah, just those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Dads, we want to help you win.
Yeah.
Men that are gonna be dads, hopefully, we want to help you win.
Yeah,
and honestly, we can all admit as dudes that it's like we've all been there. We've all seen the repercussions of a dad who cared far too much or a dad who cared far too little, and it's like, it's kind of like you said, find that middle ground,
balanced dad, man. You know what I mean? That's the idea. That's the ticket.
Yeah,
yeah. So listen, I want you dads to blow up all those bad relationships. But again, you got to be wise in doing that. I want you to encourage your sons and daughters to see the world, to adventure, to get a trade, to get a job, to go to college. At the same time, know that they might get them some. You know what I'm saying? One way or another. Don't want you to blow your gasket, and I don't want you to feel like you're a failure, because that's what it is, bro. You know what I'm saying?
And like, they got to live with their decisions. Yeah,
that's it. That's it. And you got to be able to step back from that and be like, you know what? Certain things are a reflection of you as a parent, and some things aren't. Kids are just going to make decisions. If you've given them the tools, if you've given them the game, if you've showed them what it is and what isn't, I'm with you with the whole like beer thing. I want to take my kids to Birkin and be like, hey, you want to do PCP? This is what you end up. This is what your life looks like. You know what I'm saying? You want to smoke the wrong kind of drugs? This is what your life can look like. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, if they want to go to a dispensary, we'll have to think about that. But I will show them that this is what your life could be if done and not in moderation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, I'm from California. So, you know, just the idea is like, man, you just want to make sure that you're being wise. Doing too much is harmful. Doing too little is harmful. Find the middle ground. Find the middle. And be an active parent. Know your child. Some kids you gotta, you know, talk, have the birds and the bees and show them pictures. Some people you can just have good conversations, you know what I mean? And make sure they understand that.
And I think too, like, just my last thought is don't be your kid's friend.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's the element of friendship that you can have, but you gotta be a parent.
Yeah.
Like, all of the friends that I had that just ended up so, like, far gone. Yeah. That still live at home, that still like made just bad decision after bad decision, all had parents that were like, I want to be your best friend, and I want to be all your friends' best friends.
Yep. Yep.
And they're like, you can drink here, you can be safe here, you can do drugs here, you can have sex here. We just want you to be safe here.
Yeah.
And we're gonna provide, and it was that enabling.
Yeah.
That like,
whew, if I'd have grown up in your neighborhood, I'd be like, yeah, girl, you safe here? Okay. Let's be safe.
I mean, it's crazy, bro. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I don't know what the motivation was, but it was like, you got to be a parent.
Yeah.
And there will come a time where you can be friends with your kids.
I dated some girls that had sister moms. Like, oh, yeah, drop you off at my house. Cool. She ain't tripping, I ain't tripping.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, dads win. Don't leave your daughter with daddy issues.
Yeah.
Don't send your son off to the world without at least giving him a roadmap.
Don't test the rain without a raincoat.
There you go. There you go. That is one way to say it.
So listen, man. If you're out there getting physicals and getting erections, there's two ways that ends. Happy or sad. And if you're out here and you're a dad and you don't want your son or daughter to date somebody, be wise about it. And if you do want them to date somebody, be wise about it. Know your kids. Know the heartbeat of the relationship. Know what works for them and proceed in that direction. I'm John Parker, better known as C. John Roar on the internets. Good day.
Yeah, y'all. At Dan Duncan, hit us up on Twitter. Hashtag DTTBRO. Don't do that, bro.
Yes, sir.
Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, and yeah, it's been real.
Holla.
Clockwork, I blow it off.